right.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Heartland Hypnosis Radio. I am your host, Ray Lytle, and I am joined by Dr. Randy Konikoff. Randy, welcome to the program.
Thank you. What an honor. Thank you so much.
Where did you go? Let's start it off. Doctor, where did you go to school?
Well, I'm not an MD doctor. I'm a PhD doctor.
Yes, I understand that.
And I learned all about everything I need to know about counseling and neuropsychotherapy. I went to Liberty University, and I'm an addiction specialist, and that's basically, I also went to the School of Hard Knocks.
So you started off as psychotherapy. I mean, you went to try to help people. Let's face it. That's you know, addiction specialist. You help people in very bad states trying to better themselves. Let me ask, when did you decide hypnosis is something that you should learn?
All right.
What was the spark that fired the hypnosis love inside you?
Okay. Well, my story starts out, I was a musician, a jazz and blues musician, till I was in my 30s. And I married an addict, and subsequently followed that by marrying two more. So two of them have since passed away, and the third one has been missing for about the last 12 years. So,
oh, no. When I'm sorry to hear that.
Thank you. Through my own therapy, when I stopped blaming them for everything and started to ask myself questions like, why are you marrying the same guy over and over and over again? That's when I started to fall in love with the mind and the way the mind works. And as this is a second profession for me, I went back to school later in life. And I always feel sometimes that education is much more delicious when you're older and you can really appreciate it. So I then started studying about neuropsychology and took a course in EMDR and learned how to be an EMDR therapist. And that was my first introduction to mind processing and all of the neurological changes and brain connections that we can actually move around through plasticity. Well, all of that then led me by happenstance to read about a very short seminar that someone by the name of Maggie Minsk was going to be giving. That was about 4 hours away from where I was living, and I just jumped in the car and drove up. And Maggie still is a hypnotherapist instructor. And this 45-minute seminar that she gave, this just little brief talk, set me on fire for this. I think so much of it had to do with her passion for describing how we can make brain changes in people. Well, actually, they can make brain changes in themselves through hypnotherapy. And then when I took Maggie's class and became a hypnotherapist instructor, through Maggie, I decided I got to learn more. So I found out who Maggie's instructor was, and I took classes under Ron Esslinger, who is excellent with chronic pain elimination. And I saw, whoa, that could really enter in to the addictions work that I'm doing. And the thing about addictions is it's not just to substances. As I'm sure you know, addiction is the reward center in the brain. And so that neurochemicals and neuroreactions can happen from anything that triggers that reward system.
Right.
So I was really hungry to find out how to really find out as much as possible about that reward system and how we can go about making changes. Because with addiction, it's not so much what you use, it's why you use. And so getting people to get the therapy underneath why they make the choices that they make. And the hypnotherapy was the way to do it. It was to get past the conscious mind, which is, you know, that's the part of you that is sort of the gatekeeper and keeps things out there. But getting to the subconscious mind, which calls the shots, that was a way that hypnotherapy allowed me to be able to say, yes, we can get right in there, right underneath all of the false beliefs, underneath all of the stuff that's on the top. And so then I spoke with Sheila Granger, who is a hypnotherapist in the UK, and learned a lot from her with regard specifically to weight loss and things like that. So, again, more addiction-type reward behavior.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I have a weight problem. I'm miserable when I'm trying to eat good. It's an addiction. And I think that, you know, my whole life I have battled it like it's just a weight problem. But I think you're right. It's an addiction. It is an addiction to food. I don't even know if it's an addiction to food. It's an addiction to the way I feel when I eat food.
Right, Ray. And a lot of it is because of the things that are put into our food. And the problem, the one problem with food more than anything, is that we can't abstain from food.
Yeah, it's not illegal. It's
right.
You know, food isn't illegal. It's readily available for anyone who wants it. But I mean, I guess the same could be said for cigarettes and alcohol too. But it is, food is no one is going to judge you, or the police aren't going to arrest you for, you know, for putting food in. It is different from drugs. And you can drive when you're on food, unlike alcohol. You can eat inside, unlike smoking.
Yeah, but food is drugs, okay?
Yeah.
Sugar is more powerful in the brain than cocaine.
It's unbelievable, isn't it?
I know. If you look at the SPECT scans, which are those scans that show brain activity, the brain lights up even more with sugar, because now, of course, with the high fructose corn syrup, which is like sugar on steroids, and all of that stuff is in our food. So unless we are extremely mindful and clean eating, it's tough to get away from that. And sugar is one of the substances that I assess for when I talk to people, as is caffeine. And those are two things that get put into our food, but that are brain changers.
Well, you mentioned Sheila Granger, and Sheila does the gastric bypass thing where literally she...
The virtual gastric
bypass. She, and correct me if I'm wrong, she hypnotizes a person into believing that they had the surgery. Is that what it is? That she hypnotizes them into believing that they've had the surgery, and that somehow gets them to control the addiction? Or how does... does it work what does your mind go through?
That's right. So I don't want to, of course, say that I'm telling you exactly as she does it,
right?
Because she's fantastic. But
yeah, and by the way, I want to plug. Let's plug Sheila. Sheila Granger is great. She's going to be also at Heartland, just as Randy is. She's going to be at Heartland Hypnosis Conference. You can see her when she does her presentations, and she also has a post conference class. At Heartland that you can stay for as well. And she's going to talk about, if I'm not mistaken, she's talking about the virtual gastric bypass system.
Exactly.
So go ahead.
Exactly.
I'm sorry, Randy.
So I don't want to step on her toes, but basically it's creating in your mind, which is where everything starts with thoughts. It's creating in your mind that your stomach is the size of what it would be if you had the bypass. The gastric band, actually. And so I don't want to say much more because I don't want to take away from her. But it's all what we do with our mind. And you know, Ray, that everything is about belief.
Yeah, and it's amazing
everything.
To convince someone that they have had a surgery they haven't had. It's very powerful.
It is, but you think about it, with all of our negative thinking that we do and all of the bad choices that we make, we have beliefs that support those.
Yeah.
And so it is all about belief patterns. I mean, you know, if you walk into a room and you don't believe a chair is going to sustain your weight, you're not going to sit on it. And
that's
if
true,
you believe
yeah.
your whole life that you are a loser or that you can't do something, that is just as powerful as the positive belief that we can incorporate. And what changes a negative belief to a positive belief is just changing our neural connections and strengthening them. And that can be done, as we know, through hypnotherapy. But the client, as you know, we can't hypnotize anybody who doesn't want to be or who resists it. So that all comes back to belief.
Well, I think when it comes to addictions, though, You know, people don't want to be addicted to drugs. They don't want to be addicted to alcohol. They don't want to be addicted to food. We don't want to be addicted to cigarettes. I mean, those are pretty willing participants.
Well, and this is the way addiction works, which is what the gist of what I'll be teaching in my course at the Heartland Conference, is teaching people about the disease of addiction. And it's just say no to a certain point, and then a physiological switch flips, and physiology takes over. What happens when you are truly addicted to something or anything or thoughts is when your prefrontal cortex, which is the part of your brain that makes decisions, that becomes hijacked. And it's hijacked by the dopamine and the glutamate, which is really the powerful neurochemical, that come in and hijack your reward system and get you accustomed to receiving positive rewards, like the way we feel if we've made a connection with grandma's apple pie or we've made a connection with birthday cake. We're going to get those same feel-good neurotransmitters coursing through our bodies, and that's what motivates us to keep going. In the cases of, let's say, drug addiction or any of the other powerful addictions like gambling or pornography, something like that, what happens is your brain has built a superhighway that is the addiction superhighway. And so that's where, just like if you do anything long enough and it becomes repetitive, we actually make brain connections that are physical real estate in our brain. And so what we do through therapy and through hypnotherapy is we help people to recreate another pathway, and it's the healthier pathway. And the more they use it, the more they'll see the positive changes in their lives, and the more they will choose to make different choices in how they cope.
So they're getting some of the same chemical reactions that they get from whatever it is they're addicted to, but it's not the behavior that's causing it.
Correct. And I like what you're getting to. There's something in everybody called the hedonic set point.
Mm-hmm.
And the hedonic set point is sort of like our norm, okay? And living life on life's terms means that sometimes things are good, sometimes they're not so good, sometimes they're good. And so you almost like do like a ribbon fluctuate a little bit up and down from that hedonic set point. When you take a drug or you engage in an activity that spikes your dopamine, your hedonic set point, after a while, if you continually spike your dopamine reaction, the glutamate will come in, and the glutamate is the neurochemical where the dopamine says this feels really good. The glutamate says, get it. And glue, like glutamate, it locks that feeling in, and you will chase that. Meanwhile, all of your dopamine, happy, joyful, wonderful, euphoric experiences are now expected above the natural hedonic set point. So you've reset it. So normal things that would release normal amounts of dopamine in your body, like having a good meal with friends or watching a beautiful sunset or just normal things that would increase your dopamine level, they don't even register anymore because you're used to getting the huge jolt of dopamine from either the activity or the chemical substance.
Right, the drugs, the food, the cigarettes, whatever it is.
Exactly.
So you're basically you use hypnosis to, and I know reprogram sounds bad, but to sort of reprogram the brain to find the same state that you're in, or to get into the state.
To actually bring you back to what is within the normal range, which means you're going to make different behavior changes, and you're going to, you know, stop reaching for these higher ones. Now, in the case of opioids, for example, where there's terrible physical withdrawals associated with that, there is a process for some of these addictions that we deal with, and sometimes it takes about a full year in order to get yourself back to where you're able to enjoy the regular joys of life. Now, I believe that we are created beings, and in that, I believe that we're created with our minds having the ability in our brains and our neurochemicals that we provide ourselves with everything we need. But when we get in there and we start screwing around with them, that's when we need to get back to the way things were. And what you just said, Ray, about it sounds bad to say reprogram. No, actually, because what happens is when we make bad choices long enough or we shoot for the stars, we are actually reprogramming our brain at that point also to negative feelings and depression and poor choices. So it's just the beauty of the plasticity of our brain that allows us to correct it and bring it back online.
It would be nice to reach the same, for whatever reason it is, for the same level of joy I get after eating a donut
yes.
or something like that. It'd be nice to reach that without eating the donut, to find something that should give me that. It's almost a euphoria, you know, and I'm just using my own experiences.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to be able to get there naturally without eating this food or
And you can. Yeah. We have at least five senses, and that's where I will go into this a lot more in my I do a pre-conference class at Heartland.
Yeah, and pre-conference you're talking about addictions, and then during the conference you're talking about it. So, I mean, you are branded as the addiction specialist.
Oh, my. I don't know about that, but I know what I know. And I know what's worked with people, and it's so exciting. And anybody, whether you choose to work with addictions or not, come to this and learn more about how the brain works in the reward system. And that, I can't imagine, would do anything less than supercharge your hypnotherapy practice, because you're really learning how the brain operates.
Let me just plug Heartland for a minute. You know, the people that you mentioned, it's funny because everybody you mentioned is one of the highlights of the 2019 Heartland Hypnosis Conference.
Oh, fantastic.
Maggie Minsk, Maggie's all over. She's fantastic. She's going to be there. Ron Esslinger is doing a pre-conference as well as he's on Friday. When you go on, Ron's going on. It's funny because here's the Friday clinical room. Maggie,
okay.
she's doing two presentations. Ron Esslinger's doing a presentation. And then you're not long after. So, I mean, it is, you're going to see a lot of old friends in that first day at Heartland. I mean, it really is the names. And then, of course, Sheila's also there. And the people that you mentioned, it is funny that you're going to see them all at Heartland Hypnosis. And your pre-conference, you're doing a pre-day pre-conference class. And it's going to be about addictions and how to help people overcome them.
Well, and how to help them overcome them. But here's the thing. They've got to want to.
Yeah.
We cannot do anything for them, just like hypnosis, that they're not willing to accept and bring in. That's why there's no mandatory commitment for substance abuse. The person will not stay. It never works unless they want to do it for themselves. And this is where the person has to be ready. And sometimes pain is a great motivator. Consequences are a great motivator. Yeah. But once you've got their buy-in, once things have gotten bad enough in their lives that they want to turn things around, they're going to just absorb all this, and they're going to have fantastic changes in their brain, which will lead to changes in their thought process, and then in their choices, and then in their behaviors.
I have a broadcaster, and I'm around so many hypnotherapist and hypnotist. I don't know how to do hypnosis. However, I hear everybody talk about it, and I'm fascinated by it. I hope everybody that's listening to this. Let me ask you just your opinion, your take on it. How many times do you have to hypnotize a person? Do you have to reinforce? How many times does it take before it sticks with someone?
Well, you know, we can't give those numbers out because it depends on the individual.
I guess that's true,
it depends on where they are in their stage of change. But I will tell you something that I'm sure you've heard before, Ray, that, you know, most of us are hypnotized 80% of the day anyway with self-hypnosis.
Or when you're driving, so, or, yeah. I've done that. I'm driving home and I miss my exit and I don't even know what happened. You know, it's self-hypnosis.
Right. Well, hypnosis is just focused concentration. And when you think about it, when you worry or you ruminate over something, you're actually in hypnosis because you're so focused on what it is. So what I like to say is let's use our powers for good rather than for evil, and let's start using that focus and that self-hypnosis for things that will benefit us in our lives instead of the worrying and the as-ifing and the shame and all that stuff, and start really using the power of our thought to catapult us in our lives.
I am, William Mitchell, who throws the Heartland Hypnosis Conference, I work with William. I do all his web work and stuff like that. But I'm in the office, you know, quite a bit. At least, you know, a couple times a week I'm in the office. And I will see him, you know, have sessions with people who are trying to quit smoking, or they're trying to quit eating. Or, you know what I mean? And you see that they're hurting. They you know, like I said, I myself want to quit eating. I see the people, you know, go through these, they go through sessions, and it is amazing. You know, one woman, William was talking to about the smoking, she literally couldn't even bring, she, it was impossible for her to bring the cigarette to her mouth.
Mm.
I mean, it's powerful when you finally get that breakthrough. I see what you guys do. It's so helpful. And I imagine, you know, the person trying to stop eating or trying to stop, you know, whether it's drugs, pornography, whatever. It's so positive a feeling when you can actually get through the day and you realize, oh, my God, I didn't eat this, or I didn't take this, or I didn't do this. It is a powerful
thing.
Right,
and that's what builds on that. You build on your success.
Is the feeling
that I got through that one day, that gives you more power to be able to keep believing, because you now have concrete proof that I can do it.
That's a question I'm getting to. Is it the feeling that you get at the end of the day? Like, for example, the feeling, say I go through the whole day and I didn't eat a donut. That feeling that I get at the end of the day, like, you know what, will that replace the addiction, or what is the eventual goal?
The eventual goal is for you not to be a slave to something other than your own thoughts, right? And it's to be able to know that you're in charge of your life, not that you have given your power over to anything else. And so I think I understand what you're asking for. What will happen is you have to understand that underneath most addictions in people are some false negative core beliefs about how they feel about themselves. And part of what we do through hypnosis and through even just therapy alone is help dispel these false beliefs that most people have come up with in their adolescent years before their prefrontal cortex has stopped forming. And they are mistaken. They blame themselves for things, for the reason why people treated them the way that they did when they were kids, or for whatever reason it is. And then you don't want to feel the pain as you go through life, the emotional pain. So you'll want to raise that dopamine level up because you want to feel good. But the fastest way to feel good may be with an activity or a substance that boosts up that dopamine much higher, hundreds of times higher than it would normally be. So we go back again to belief. And once you realize, you know, I like life a lot better 20 pounds lighter, or when I don't have heartburn after I've eaten all that stuff, then you'll start to develop a belief that that's better, and that'll make you feel better about yourself. And therefore, the substitute is easier for you because you're seeing there are some gains in making these changes.
And you're starting the success you feel by achieving, you know, some kind of power over your addictions. I guess that sort of becomes addictive?
Well, that becomes a normal chemical release of feelings of joy or success that will be natural and normal in the way that you are designed. what I think we want to not forget is when most people come in and they have issues with addictions, it isn't just that they're not crazy about the way they're acting. No, most of them have either lost their families, their careers, their jobs, their freedom because they're in prison, health. These are major, major consequences, and so the motivation is stronger in order to change their life.
Let me ask you, I'm going to go back to something you said earlier. Did you said that you you had a problem with the men you picked, or the partners that you picked, right?
Yes.
Did you use hypnosis to somehow get past that? Was there something that you did that made you think about addictions in this way?
Well, seeing, because I also treat the families of loved ones who mm-hmm. have addictions.
Well, you've been that loved one.
That yeah, they have a recovery to go through as well.
Yeah,
because they have gone through brain changes for themselves in trying to live with, defend, cope with, whatever, that irrational behavior. And so, speaking personally, I didn't come into therapy at all until I was done. I'm a pretty old lady now, so
you had gone through the heartbreak and the roughness of being in love with someone who was an addict. You had gone through that before you got into hypnosis?
Yes, and also I'd gone through the severe domestic violence and physical abuse. Mm. And so I had a lot of motivation for realizing, you know, my life's in the toilet. I got to do something. And so for me, it was a spiritual thing that I came to in my life and realized that God didn't create me to live that way, and it wasn't his fault that I was living that way. It was mine through my choices. And so I needed to use hypnotherapy and therapy in order to help me to stop believing these false core beliefs I had about myself, that I didn't deserve any better, or that, you know, that this is all I was good for. And yes, I'll be honest with you, of course, when you're married to people and when you're a musician, you're going to try to do what they do in order to at least be yeah. with them. Well, I always joke and I say that God made me a puker, right? So I threw up all the time and I wasn't fun to be around. But that's sort of a blessing in disguise, because that's not something that I have to struggle with, because my body just won't tolerate any of that. So my recovery had to come in learning who I was and my value as a human being. And then I was able to make better choices about with whom I hung out and who I wanted in my life and what I wanted in my life. So you can see how all of this takes place when you're dealing with people who are addicted to things. It's teaching them also not to make better choices about what they use in their lives to feel good, but also to feel good about themselves, so that they're the only ones who they're with 24/7. Mm. And so short of sitting on top of somebody who is an addict to try to keep them from making that same choice, you can't. It has to be what they have believed and decided in themselves, what they want in their lives. And so getting a series of successes, of making the right choices, seeing your life begin to turn back around, seeing some things that you thought were gone forever come back, including your ability to reason and think, that's what proves to us that I can do it the better way.
Can you, and I don't want to pass judgment on anybody who tries to help people with addictions, but can you truly help, just your opinion, can someone truly help a person with addictions if they don't understand what addictions are?
I don't think that they could possibly be as effective.
Yeah.
I don't put anybody in a box. Anybody could, you know, by the grace of God, anybody can help anybody. But also reinforcing that we can't help anybody who doesn't want to be helped.
Does the hypnosis industry, because many people in the hypnosis industry do try to help people with addictions, do you feel that as the industry as a whole, are we educated enough?
Well, I think the whole United States in particular, because of the crisis, people are becoming more educated.
Yeah.
And through that education, we're dropping all the stigmas associated with it. You know, speaking just about drugs, drug addicts are not just are in our imagination of what we always thought they used to be. Right now, your grandmother, your doctor, your kindergarten teacher, all because of the such a strong emphasis on pharmaceuticals in this company, in this country. We treat symptoms. We don't treat the actual causes. And that's why I am so into using the power of our own brains, body, spirit, mind to be able to help ourselves. Most cases, if there are not severe and significant problems, most of us can heal ourselves through what we have within us.
I you know, you talk about, you know, anybody can be a drug addict, and you're right, opioids especially. Look at the people who are having problem with them. And a lot of it has to do with, this is just my opinion, but, you know, it's simple to prescribe, oh, here you go, here's some Oxycontin. It's very simple for doctors to prescribe that kind of stuff. And there are people like Roberta Fernandez is also, I believe, doing, I don't have the schedule in front of me, but I think she's also doing a Friday, on Friday at the clinical room in Heartland. She's also talking, and she's talking about things like, you know, maybe it's time for people to look at hypnosis to replace opioids, to try to find other people to cope with things because of the problem it's getting. And it really is. Maybe it's time for the medical industry, the pharmaceutical industry, to start looking at other things like hypnosis. You mentioned Ron Esslinger. You know, Ron talks about pain in a way that you don't hear a lot of people talk about. But maybe it's time for the pharmaceutical industry to start paying attention and using hypnosis as a tool to help people, you know, to help people get through pain in a different way.
Yes, but then they would have to agree that we want people to be healed and not be return customers.
Yeah, you're right, yeah. Pharmaceutical industry doesn't make any money from hypnosis, then, do they?
Correct. Mm. And so, more so, you know, Ron says this himself, all pain starts in the brain. And that's where we attack this. I'm also recently certified with something in the UK called rapid pain elimination therapy. And it utilizes hypnosis. And that's Martin Rothery in the UK. And we're going to be bringing over training classes in that. And when we say pain, we mean both emotional as well as physical. And it's tremendous. In most cases, it's a one and done or a two session and done, where we can help people through hypnosis and the power of their minds to release these emotional holds that their brain has been holding on to. The same thing with trauma. Trauma is a memory with hot emotion still associated with it. And when we can process through that emotion, then the people can put those memories where they need to be and move on. And they are not emotionally attacked in the same way over and over again by past experience.
You know, once you got out of music and you, I don't know if you ever really truly out of music, but once you decided that helping people through therapy, it was your calling. How special has it been for you? Your life is. Would you say that you've had a very, you know, is fulfillment through hypnosis?
Well, to use what we've been talking about, I would say this is where I get my dopamine releases from. Absolutely. I mean, music was a huge part of my life. I grew up in a musical family. We were all working musicians, and part of this, I mean, I gave up music kicking and screaming because I used to identify myself.
What did you play? What did you play?
Oh, thank you. I have 5 CDs out back in the day, and I was a singer and a songwriter and a piano player and a guitar player.
That's awesome. And I'm a musician as well. So I'm fascinated by it. Singing and piano and songwriting. Awesome.
And thank you. That's where I would put my sense of worth. And through reaching one of the lowest points in my life, I had a spiritual experience where I came to realize that I was created for much more than just that. And so it was through the help, the grace of God, that me went back, my later stage in life, went back to school and got all this done. And my kids and I used to joke, my kids would say, oh, they moved all the dots around on the test paper so that you could pass, you know. But this is just something that, of course, as you've already identified, it means so much to me because I've lived through this, but also because this is what makes us able to be compassionate toward one another and able to love each other, especially when there's just so much discord and more hate than usual lately. If we feel secure in ourselves and who we are, then we're going to be able to afford to be more loving toward each other.
Yeah, that's a great line right there. To afford to be able to love each other is something and an attitude that we sorely need in this country. You are going to be Clinical Room 1 on Friday at 4 p.m., the first day of Heartland Hypnosis Conference. Randy Konikoff will be giving a presentation. She's also doing a pre-conference, a two-day pre-conference class. And it's going to be dealing with what we talked about today, which is helping people with addictions and helping overcome. You know, in the pre-conference, you put it down to 12 steps.
Yes.
And you see, I find that fascinating.
Well, then come to the conference.
Yeah, I mean, really, people, you really should. So that you could sign up at HeartlandHypnosisConference.com if you want to go to Randy Konikoff's two-day brain freeze, freedom from addiction's dirty dozen. It is, it's an innovative two-day pre-conference. She's going to hopefully, I know you'll educate people. I hope they accept it. You're going to give you that education and the tools that you need to use hypnosis to help in the treatment and to help people overcome addictive behaviors. I think that it is God's work that you guys are doing to help people. As I go through, I'm telling you, when I started looking at my food issue as an addiction instead of just something's wrong with me or I'm just fat, you know what I mean? When I started looking at it as an addiction, it did change, and it changed something in my brain.
Yes, and it's because we develop a relationship with food.
Yeah.
That's what makes it difficult, instead of looking at food as fuel. And we'll get onto a lot of that during the pre-conference and a little bit during the actual talk on Friday. But don't any of you ever give up on yourselves. There's always hope.
Randy, I think this will be your first time at Heartland, right?
Yes, it will. I'm so excited.
I think you're going to love it. It is, it's some amazing people, some special people, and a lot of people like you who just want to help and do what they can, to make people's lives better. And that's what you guys do. Your practice is located where?
I am in Charlotte, North Carolina, and I have two office locations, one in Huntersville, North Carolina, and one in Concord.
And you see people every day for different things, more than just addiction, I imagine.
Correct. I see people for all sorts of things. I have specialties also in trauma. I do a great deal of work with first responders and in helping them, and also domestic violence victims and people who just need some new brain connections created in their brain so that they can choose to live a different way.
Well, I thank you so much for being my guest today. It's been fascinating.
Oh, thank you.
It has been fascinating hearing you discuss this. And I look forward to you being at Heartland, and I hope everybody will come see you. Dr. Randy Konikoff has been my guest today on Heartland Hypnosis Radio, and I thank you so much.
Thank you. All right. See you there.